What I want to bring to people's attention is that science has advanced to allow us to understand that when it comes to food and health, it's not just about the food. It's actually about how our body responds to what we put inside it.
That's Dr. William Lee, and I'm Dan Skinner. This is Conversations. William Lee is an internationally renowned medical doctor, researcher, and president and founder of the Angiogenesis Foundation. His groundbreaking work has led to the development of more than 30 new medical treatments. His expertise includes treating cancer, diabetes, blindness, heart disease, and obesity. He joins us to talk about his book, Eat to Beat Disease: The New Science of How Your Body Can Heal Itself. Dr. Lee, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, tell us about what inspired you to write this book.
Well, I'm a physician and a scientist, and I've spent the last 20 years or so doing what I was trained to do, which is to diagnose disease and write prescriptions to try to chase diseases down with the hopes of curing them. But about 10 years ago, I realized that we could do something much better with the science that we actually have. In fact, the same science that's leading to these sort of biotechnology breakthroughs. And that is actually to apply our efforts to understanding how to actually prevent disease itself. And when you talk about preventing disease, you really can't talk about using medicines. You have to be using different tools in a toolbox. And that's what led me to food. And so I really began this search for what is the serious scientific evidence that underpins our understanding of food and health. And then on a personal level, as I was navigating through my experience with patients, I realized that almost all of my patients seemed to ask me one common thing, which was, hey, doc, what could I do for myself? Is there something I should eat? And I realized I was never taught that in medical school or in training, and I felt that was wrong. So I set off on this journey that led me to write Eat to Beat Disease.
Give us an overview of this book. What are readers going to find here?
Well, most people that open a book on food and health are expecting a diet book. And not only are they expecting a book on weight loss, but they might be expecting a book that tells you what are the things that you need to remove from your life? What are the things you need to eliminate from your diet? That's really kind of the general tenor of most books on food and health. And my book is completely different. In my book, Eat to Beat Disease, the subtitle is The New Science of How Your Body Can Heal Itself. What I want to bring to people's attention is that science has advanced to allow us to understand that when it comes to food and health, it's not just about the food. It's actually about how our body responds to what we put inside it. And so with that in mind, there are no superfoods, there are no super diets, but there are superhuman defense systems in our body that are hardwired in us, that are firing to help us resist disease from the day we're born to our last breath. And foods can actually activate those health defenses, which gives us a completely different way to look at foods. And I talk about more than 200 different foods supported by science and clinical research and public health research with the evidence that they activate one or more of these health defenses. And then at the very end of the book, I put it all together into a way that pretty much anybody can incorporate this information into their own lives, along with big tables and lists of foods that we now know can support health.
Well, obviously we can't cover all of those foods, but give us some examples of foods that help our body do the job it needs to do to keep us healthy.
Right. Well, so before going into foods, the most important thing is to understand what systems of foods are activating. So I write about five core health defense systems. There's angiogenesis, our circulation. I run the Angiogenesis Foundation, a nonprofit that's done a lot of the basic research that's led to me to write this part of the book. Our circulation brings oxygen nutrients to every cell of the body, very important for our health. Our stem cells that allow us to regenerate from the inside out is what science teaches us. Our microbiome, which we now know is an incredibly important part of makeup of who we are, is the 39 trillion bacteria in our body. Our DNA, which is not only our genetic code, but actually also protects us against the harms of the environment by responding and repairing itself in ways when we're exposed to radiation, for example, or chemical exposures. And then finally, our immune system is a more powerful defense, health defense, than we ever thought, because we now know that not only can it help us resist bacteria and viruses, it can actually be strong enough to help us resist cancer as well. So against that background, some of the surprising foods among the 200 I write about are soy, as an example. Soy's got a scary reputation. Some people think it could cause breast cancer because it's got a plant estrogen in it, but it turns out the plant estrogen is nothing like the human estrogen and, in fact, can counter it. And in my book, I read about a study of 5,000 women with breast cancer that showed that those who ate more soy had almost 30% lower risk of mortality. The chemical that's found in soy that's beneficial is called genistein, which cuts off the blood supply feeding cancers. And we now know that the amount that is useful from those studies is about 10 grams of soy protein a day, which is about the amount found in a glass of soy milk. So you can go from these kind of understanding the defense system to understanding a food to looking at the public health evidence to understanding the chemical that's in it to the quantity that's needed. That's where science has taken us. And that's just one of many, many different foods that I write about.
In the book, there's so much, obviously, that we can't cover. But one thing that caught my attention was, as you're working on eating healthier and understanding why those foods are beneficial, you talk about rethinking the kitchen and things one might want to do there to support this healthier way of eating.
Right. Well, you know, most of us center our eating around what we keep in the kitchen. And, you know, a common thing is, you know, what do you eat? Well, I eat whatever happens to be in the refrigerator, the pantry. And one of the things that I wanted my readers to do is to understand that every aspect of our kitchen can be optimized to really support our health, starting from the tools that we actually keep. You know, what do we cook with? How do we, you know, what are the pots, the pans, the mills, the coffee makers, the blenders? What are the tools that are central for helping to prepare whole foods, mostly plant-based foods, but generally whole foods for our health? What do we need to eliminate from the kitchen? So we know that nonstick pans, while it makes it very easy for cooking, often release off-gas chemicals that are quite toxic. And we know that plastic containers and utensils and plastic cups, they shed these microparticles into our beverages and into our food that we wind up ingesting. What can we eliminate from the kitchen? Then your pantry. You know, I don't know what your pantry is like, Dan, but mine tends to accumulate lots of different things over my year, my travel, what people bring in, what I pick up along the way. But can we clean out the old stuff and leave only the things that are critical? What spices, what oils, what vinegars, what types of natural sweeteners might we want to actually keep in there? And then I talk about cooking techniques. What are the ways that we can prepare our foods that are keep them in their most elemental but delicious forms? And what are the methods that actually are not so helpful, including the microwave? So this rethinking the kitchen is really intended to be a little bit of a master class in terms of a chapter. And how do we not only buy the food or bring home the food, but how do we actually prepare and store the foods so that we can go in there and pick something good to eat?
I'm talking with Dr. William Lee. The book is Eat to Beat Disease. And Dr. Lee, I understand that in addition to the book, you have some online resources available. Tell us about that.
One of the things that I recognized when I wrote about 200 different foods is that that's a dizzying array that people need help to navigate and then figure out how to put it into their own lives. So I actually created a free downloadable shopping guide, a shopping list, which is what we all use when we go to the market, that you can come to my website. It's drwilliamlee.com, and just download the shopping list and you'll be able to go into the shopping center. It's organized as how you might see foods in a market with a picture to help you start to recognize those foods that have evidence in my book that can be healthy.
Another section of your book that captured my attention was the notion of food doses. Explain to us how this section of the book is laid out.
Right. Well, so for years, we've always been hearing that you should eat more blueberries or strawberries or, you know, nuts are good for you. And one of the questions I've always had is, how much should we actually eat? And that's really not found anywhere. And as we begin as a society to wake up to really an old idea that food, in fact, influences our health, and the modern phrase is food as medicine. You know, look, one of the things about medicine is that we have a dose, and whether it's a cure or a poison actually is actually in the dose. And so I wrote into this chapter, I think for the first time ever, how do you deconstruct research studies, especially public health studies, where they're studying tens or hundreds of thousands of people and associating the benefit of a food with a lowered risk of a particular dreaded disease, like colon cancer, for example? So if that association is made, how do you get into that research and pull out, so what dose actually led to that? And that's what's really interesting. For example, I write about a condition of the esophagus called Barrett's esophagus, which, you know, is a precursor to esophageal cancer. It's often caused by reflux or irritation of the esophagus. And black raspberries are a berry that's been studied in clinical trial to lower the risk by calming the inflammation and cutting off the blood supply that's feeding the harmful precancerous cells. Well, it turns out that from that human study, the equivalent number of black raspberries you need to eat is about 2 cups per day. Well, open a measuring cup and pour some black raspberries in it. You realize, oh, you know, that's doable. I can actually do that. And so what I've done is actually taken a look at, you know, probably 24 or more large population studies and picked out those foods in which it's possible to back calculate what was the dose that was associated with the benefit. And I put that into a table really as a reference to what we can do in the future is to really begin to put together a catalog of what is known about foods and doses and diseases.
And in that section of the book, you have recommendations based on the science about specific diseases, for example, diabetes, which impacts a large section of our population.
Right. Well, so, you know, when we think about diseases like diabetes, you know, most of us, even people in medicine like myself, think about the condition as an affliction. Most people think that I was diagnosed with the disease happened to me. But in point of fact, the argument I'm making in my book is that, you know, look, our bodies are hardwired to be healthy for most of our lives. This is why kids do get serious diseases, most of us actually are able to get through childhood and young adulthood without any of these problems that older people have. A disease like diabetes is actually the representation of a failure of one or more of our health defense systems. And when our defenses fail, then our health fails, and then the diseases are really the manifestation of our systems that aren't working so well. So, for example, we know that inability to metabolize carbohydrates, which is found in errant metabolism, is now very much linked to our microbiome. When we actually have problems with our gut bacteria, we call those problems dysbiosis, D-Y-F. There's a problem. The ecosystem of our gut's not happy. And because our gut bacteria help to control our metabolism, we start to have errant metabolism. So what are the foods that we can actually eat that might help to right size or sort of reset or support our microbiome to make it a little bit healthier? That's one example in diabetes. Sometimes the consequence of the disease state where we can eat to address it. So, for example, diabetes is notorious for damaging our stem cells. Our stem cells are these baby cells that give rise to other cells, in fact, different types of cells. And we know that those cells are necessary for keeping our organs repaired and our tissues really healthy. In diabetes, both type 1 and type 2, our stem cells are impaired, meaning they don't function quite as well, and there aren't quite as many of them. So certain foods, in fact, including dark chocolate, has been shown in clinical studies to activate and mobilize our stem cells. And it may be a way for us to, you know, kind of fight back against the enemy of disease by helping to restore higher levels of some of our own health defenses. So eating the right foods can counteract the effectiveness, the defects of our defenses that may lead to disease, but also in the presence of disease itself can lower things like inflammation or alter stem cells or disrupted microbiome or help to even improve blood flow where it's needed.
Dr. Lee, thank you very much for spending this time with me.
Dan, it's been a real pleasure, and I hope anybody who reads my book, Eat to Beat Disease, will have a new outlook on how they navigate through the kitchen and through the market.
Dr. William Lee's book is Eat to Beat Disease, the new science of how your body can heal itself. You'll find more interviews on a wide variety of topics at kansaspublicradio.org/conversations. You can use the KPR app to listen on your phone or tablet. And you can sign up for the Conversations podcast on iTunes. You'll also find us on Facebook. Conversations is a production of Kansas Public Radio. I'm Dan Skinner. Thanks for listening.